Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
I want you to get your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of St. Luke, chapter 24, please. Amen. I want to stop off at verse 39 this morning. The thought this morning is living blood, living blood. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Our Father, we thank you for your living word today. May it energize us and quicken us by your spirit, Lord. And may your will be done in the saints this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you today. Amen. You know, this is the account now where Christ had been crucified. He bled out on the cross. And he was resurrected. And then, but Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I see for myself. And so, several days after the resurrection, he shows up to Thomas and he says, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me. And so Thomas was allowed to touch the Lord, and he saw the prints in his hands and his feet, and where the spirit went into his side, and came there came out blood and water, the Bible says. And then Jesus said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. So the thought is, all of the Lord Jesus' blood was emptied out on the cross. But when he was resurrected, he didn't need any blood because the Holy Spirit actually moved in and took the place of the blood in the veins of the Savior. And that's just somewhat speculation, but I believe it's a scriptural speculation. He lives by the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit was the one that resurrected Christ from the dead to start with. Amen. But anyway, the main point is that Jesus said he wasn't the Spirit. Now, there are those in our fair country that teach that Jesus did not literally resurrect. Some in our community that say that it was a spirit resurrection. Well, if that's true, there's no salvation. Because if Christ had to resurrect literally, or we could not be saved. There would be no hope of glorification when the rapture comes or when the trumpet sounds. And so I must reject that doctrine as heresy, and so must you. It's not about people. It's about the devil getting in and changing the word of God and distorting salvation's plan. So Christ said himself, you see, would be calling the Savior a liar if he didn't resurrect literally. Now I want to go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Of course, those of us today understand that the Lord did resurrect. He was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. It's a historical fact and a biblical truth that cannot be denied are explained away, except they lie, you see. So I happen to know that Jesus is alive. I know him. Right. Amen. Now we can all know him better, but then he's the one that actually saved me. He's the one that granted the new birth to me, and so it is for you. And so the church itself is the evidence that Christ is alive. Anyway, we're not on that. We're going to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, talking about the Savior again, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus was God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That's when he became flesh. And he was made in the likeness of men. You read St. John chapter 1, we find out that the Word was made flesh or became flesh and dwelt among us. The apostle writes. Then in verse 8, the Bible says, being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So you see, church, it wasn't enough for the living Word to become flesh and come through the womb of the Virgin Mary. And by the way, Mary's egg had nothing to do with it. Anyway, he came through the door of the womb of the Virgin Mary into this world as the Son of Man and the Son of God, one and the same. The Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, Lord. He's got different titles. Christ, that's a title for the Savior. But anyway, he lived 30 years without sin. Actually, he never committed a sin, not one single wrongdoing in his entire 33 years of living on this earth. He worked miracles, walked on the water, turned the water into wine, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, but that wasn't enough to make atonement. He had to be beaten at the whipping post, 39 stripes, for our healing, which he did do. And then that wasn't enough, though. He had to go to the cross, and he had to be raised up between heaven and earth. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And so it was necessary. It was God's plan for his Son to become our sacrifice for the sins that we committed, past, present, and future. Hopefully we're not committing any future sins, but if we do, and if you're in covenant with God, you can be forgiven. Praise God. If you confess, he will forgive you every single time, but don't live that way. Amen. I said, don't live that way. He gave us the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to help us to live above sin, not live in sin. Anyway, he had to die on the cross and make atonement for our souls, in which the Father God accepted his sacrifice on the cross. The way I know, he resurrected. Amen. And so, he became obedient unto death. Now, the Lord Jesus, as the Son of Man, didn't really want to die on the cross. And he said in the garden, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. And there was no answer from the Father, and so there was no other way. He had to be lifted up from the earth. He had to die on the cross. He had to suffer of the sickness and disease and infirmities of the human race. He had to pay the price for our sins on the cross, which he did. When he bowed his head and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. I want you to know the deal was complete. Amen. We dare not try to add anything to it or take anything from it. But it wasn't enough for him to physically die. His blood had to be shed. We look at St. John 1 and verse 29 today. Praise the Lord. This is John the Baptist talking. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. How many believes it? Amen. Well, sure. But you see, until a person receives Jesus as Savior and Lord into their life, then their sins remain. Even though God has provided for every person the way of salvation. The condition is they must believe on and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. So how shall they hear without a preacher? They cannot. And so it's our responsibility to carry the good news to people and give them an opportunity and a chance to be saved. Not only that, stay saved. Don't think just because you're a Christian you can just do whatever you want. No, we need to keep God first in our lives. Amen. We need to go to the house of the Lord, hear the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us from the contaminants of the world, and we'll stay saved that way. So I tell people, we stay saved the same way we received salvation. Very same. Then verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now John is given revelation about the Lord Jesus. I knew him not, but that he should be baptized, that he should be made manifest of Israel, therefore am I coming baptizing with water. So John was the forerunner of the Savior, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now there's a third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then he said, and I knew him not, but he said to me to baptize with water, and the same said, okay, I read that, and remaining on him, and the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now here we got the second work of grace after salvation. The second work of grace is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first work is the gift of salvation. So the gift of salvation will be offered to all sinners, but the gift of the Holy Ghost is offered to all saints.
Amen.
Then he said in verse 34, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Praise God. Now, what a confession of faith that is. So, yes, he was saved. Sure, John made it. Amen. Without question. Amen. Now, let's go to Leviticus, please, if I can speak this morning. Chapter 17 and verse 11. In the Old Testament, very important to uphold the new. So, what I'm saying is when Jesus bled out on the cross, the lack of blood is actually what caused him to expire. However, he would not have died until he willfully gave up the ghost because he had no sin. You see, sin's the reason we're all aging. You see these gray hairs? I hope not too many. But we're all aging. We begin to age after we're born as a baby. And it's life. It's temporary, but it's life. It's this person's belief that Christ would have never died as the last Adam because he had no sin. He didn't have the evil sin nature that we received from Adam that came from the devil that made him the last Adam indeed. But he was more than that. He was God manifest in the flesh. The Son of Man and the Son of God, very human, but divine in one person. Amen. So then Leviticus 17 now in verse 11 today. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. And the Old Testament, as Brother Will has been teaching about the tabernacle on Wednesday night, in the Old Testament times, the head of the house would bring a lamb and offer that lamb for the sins of the family and himself. Even the priest would have to offer a lamb for themselves before they went in any further. So you see, it was the blood that was speaking to God. Everybody say blood. Do you know blood is, if you've ever studied one cell of blood, it's mind-boggling. It seems to be living. Furthermore, it seems to me that our blood responds to the Word of God. I heard a story about a man that had leukemia. Now, that's a blood disease. He was in the hospital, and some people from church, from his church, came into the room there and prayed. Say prayed. They prayed for him. And previously, the doctors had confirmed leukemia through tests. They had all the evidence that he had it. And he was dying, basically. But then after the prayer, he said, well, I feel different. God's healed me. And he demanded another test. So they responded and they gave another test to him, and it turned up negative that he didn't have it. A miracle. Now, we had some miracles last weekend here. God's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. So the clincher to this man's testimony is this: The blood that was previously drawn from his veins a week or two before was on the shelf, contaminated with leukemia. But now the new test says that he is healed and he doesn't have it. So what they did, they went back and checked the blood to make sure they didn't make a mistake, and come to find out there was no evidence of leukemia in the previous blood that was drawn. Now explain that to me. Life's in the blood and it's connected. If I shed some blood, it's connected to me. You follow the picture? Jesus shed his blood and it is, thank God, connected to him. Glory to God. That blood is speaking today. Genesis 4:10, we have a revelation here that we need to ponder a little bit. And so I just skimmed the surface, and it's up to you to go back and do your homework and study it throughout the week, and I hope that you do some. Amen. So you know the story of Cain and Abel, that they brought the sacrifice, and Abel's offering was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice. Cain brought something that he grew. He thought it, he grew from the ground, but actually, you know, it was spuds or potatoes or something. And he brought it, you know, and going to do it his way. And God rejected him and his offering. So when Abel brought his offering, it wasn't so much Abel as it was the offering. So God looked at the offering, and there was blood. And so the blood speaks to God. It's living blood. And when God accepted Abel's sacrifice, Abel was accepted. God rejected Cain's sacrifice, and Cain was rejected. So God looks at the blood. Amen. God hears the blood. And so there was a murder over a religious exercise. Terrible thing. But Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. And I think we ought to outlaw all rocks and sticks and knives. Amen. You know, taking away a shotgun from some 17-year-old deranged, demon-possessed person will not stop it. We can ban. If we take away all the firearms, now we've got to ban the knives and the swords. And the bow and arrows. Don't forget the crossbows. Don't forget the slingshots. Huh? The problem is not those man-made devices. The problem is inside the human heart. That's the problem. And believe it or not, we have a generation coming on that can be accepted, can be demon-possessed. It's up to the parents, it's up to the church, it's up to the ministry to teach the young people correctly and avoid them a lot of heartaches. It's our responsibility. But you know, God said now in verse 10, and he said, "What have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Everybody say it's living blood. Amen. We can take a one vial of blood and tell a lot of things about you in the physical. Amen. Cholesterol, triglycerides, sugar, you know, whatever. Whatever test they want to do, they can pretty well figure it out through your blood. So the blood speaks, does it not? But now, in Hebrews 9:14, it's the strangest thing about blood in our human body, that it brings nutrients to the cells, but it also at the same time expels waste. Isn't that amazing? How is that possible? I don't know. But that's the way God made it. In Hebrews 9, verse 14 today, praise the Lord. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience of dead works to serve the living God? Now look at this closely. The blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. On the cross, Jesus offered himself as our sacrifice. He made atonement for you and me. He did so by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never left Jesus on the cross, never left Jesus when he left his body and went down and preached in paradise, never left him, never will. Praise God. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit, because we're in Christ, will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? The blood was applied first. That's the deal. When we go back to the Old Testament, the priest, they would be anointed with the blood first. Ear, right toe, whatever. And then the oil second. So we're saved by the blood. We're saved by the blood. The blood, not of a goat or a bull or a dog, but the living Savior. His blood. When his blood is put on you, you're not only covered by the blood, you are washed by living blood. And now you have eternal life from the Savior. That's the way that it works. When the blood is applied, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you and take up residence, being born again right then in a moment of time. But then secondly, the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit anointing that comes after the blood is applied into your life. Yes, amen. We need both in these last days, or we're just not going to make it. Well, thank God this bunch around here believes in both. Amen. Don't we? Yes. Sure we do. So he offered himself without spot. So he didn't become a sinner on the cross. They're wrong, Word of Faith teachers. Amen. I don't want to say any more about it because I want to stay in the Spirit this morning. But it upsets me when I hear something that contaminates absolute truths concerning salvation. Amen. I'm backing off. I had one preacher, I liked to listen to him. He was an intellectual type person. But he said one time, and I heard it in my own ears, nobody wants to hear about a bloody religion. Nobody wants to hear about a cross. He said, what we're going to do, we're going to get them in the kingdom of God, and after we bring them to the kingdom of God, then we'll tell them about the cross. Wrong! You cannot get in the kingdom of God without the cross. Amen. And what happened to him, what happened to them, his family, and his staff, they all were killed in a plane wreck. Dear God, I'm staying back, man. No, No. It's the shed blood of Jesus, or we're not going to make it. I thank God he did shed his blood for us because of our sins. None of us could save ourselves. None of us could produce a good enough sacrifice. It was only temporary through a lamb until the Lamb of God came and died on the cross. That's the very heart of their gospel. And anybody that doesn't preach the gospel is not a gospel preacher. God help them. Amen. So I'm staying back, man, because when judgment hits, it's not going to be good. And God's cleaning some house and some areas, and I don't ever want to say anything that would defile the Scripture any. No matter if everybody forsakes and goes the wrong way. They better be thinking about right and wrong here, truth and error. Holy Spirit and unholy Spirit. Antichrist Spirit. It's so prevalent in our world today. All we got to do, though, is hold a Christ's nail-scarred hand and keep the faith and stay in grace. That's all we got to do. Amen. Make sure you're in the will of God. Too many people are dying. Well, they say they're Christians, but yet are they in the will of God? No. Listen, we better be in the will of God when the time comes for us to leave this world. You hear me? We better be in the will of God. If you don't know, you better start praying about it. Make sure you're in the will of God because the devil's plan for keeps. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and you better know you're in the will of God. I search myself every now and then, Lord, am I in the will of God? Are you sure? I mean, if I'm not, get me in your will. Keep me in your will at all costs. Because it's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there is no such thing as purgatory. Amen. But the blood, and then drop down to verse 22 of that same chapter of Hebrews 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And look at this now. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There cannot be forgiveness of sins. Amen. Without the shed blood of Jesus himself. Amen. He is the great faithful high priest. Give him that amen. He's the one that defeated the devil, not in hell, but on the cross. Amen. That's where Satan took the death blow to his head. On the cross, Genesis 3:15, I can read. Amen. Then we go to Ephesians 1:7. We've been teaching Wednesday night on the book of Ephesians. Sunday night we've been teaching on that. And I think tonight we're going to be in chapter 5. Is that right, Heath? Chapter 5, we're going to start there tonight and get through with that maybe by Christmas. Okay. I try to evade some of the fine tunings of these scriptures, and then we get hung up sometimes. But we'll try to do better, okay. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Oh, read it with me. Are you there? If you're not there, look on the screen, please. Say it with me. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Well, thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for God's love. But God's love won't keep a person out of hell. You must be born again. John chapter 3:3-5. We have redemption through his blood. That's the blood of the Savior that was shed on the cross to make atonement for our souls. No saint in the Old Testament, not even Abraham, was born again. Now, they were in a safe, preserved condition in the underworld, but Satan could hold them there for some reason. We don't know why. But I do know that when Jesus died on the cross, he said it was finished. That allowed all the Old Testament saints to be born again when they came up out of the underworld. Praise God. You couldn't get out of the underworld unless you were born again. Hello, somebody. So they were waiting for the Savior to come in the underworld. They were believers. And when he came in, I think the Lord said, I'm here. I am. You get it? I am the Savior. Oh. 3 days of partying in the paradise. You talk about the next event coming, man. Hey, you know, I read an article that Jerusalem's getting ready to build the temple. Amen. Have you seen that? Yep. I assume that's connected to prophecy. Amen. And it's all coming together here, and it's all working, and we're getting ready for a lot of things to kick in concerning the great tribulation. But what I'm looking for is not the judgment of God. I'm looking for the out resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to stay here and fight the Antichrist, fine. As your faith is, so be it to you. But I'll tell you what, people today don't even know what they're saved from. First off, you're saved from hell. The flames of hell for eternity. Amen. Secondly, we're saved from God's wrath that's coming upon this world. 7 years of hell, Antichrist coming. One world government, one world church. People being martyred for their faith. The only way to be saved. Secondly, there is no second chance after the rapture. You hear what I'm saying? So if you heard the gospel, now you're accountable for your life. Make sure you stay submitted to the Savior, everybody. We all must, and honored to do so. Praise God. But we do have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Turn to somebody and say, the blood's on you, then you're forgiven. Praise God. Is the blood on your life? How do we know? Well, you've been forgiven. How do you know you're forgiven? Holy Spirit comes in to live and indwell your heart, and your spirit is resurrected in a moment of time to walk in newness of life. That's being baptized into Christ. Amen. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The only way to put on Christ is to accept His sinless blood that was shed on Calvary for our sins. As simple as we can make it. But thank God, so profound. The half has never yet been told. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 now, are we doing okay today? Got one. That's pretty good odds. You know, here's the thing, folks. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? Isn't that really what it's all about? I heard one story. This man said, we spend two-thirds of our life just accumulating things. The last third, we try to get rid of it. I've noticed that. I want a smaller yard. I want to, you know, I don't need a bunch of things anymore that I thought I needed that just kill time. Amen. Lighten the load a little bit, everybody. We're leaving it all anyway. Lighten the load. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. For such were some of you, but you are washed. Everybody say you're washed. My dad, he would take a shower, you know, and he'd say, I need to go in there and rinse off. Rinse. No wonder the Africans can't understand a word we're saying. Rinse, 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 rinse. I need to go in there and rinse off. Well, I knew what he meant, but, you know. Rinse is the proper English word. Of such were some of you, but you are washed. How many of you say washed? Anybody? Oh, I got one saint over here. Washed, that's good, yeah. Are you washed? Washed in your blood. But you're sanctified. How did we get sanctified? We were washed. You hear me? We were washed. You're sanctified in a moment of time once you're washed. That's right. Your garment is white as snow by the washing. You're justified. That means you're made just as if you never committed one sin. Furthermore, there was no trial. That's right. You see, we have it sometimes in the church. Well, you know, Jesus is there and the devil is there and accusing us and Jesus is going to win the lawsuit. No, it won't happen. He won it at Calvary. Never was. So when we're justified, we're put in a position and a condition that there never was a trial for our sinfulness because it was all washed away. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So don't never go to the Father and say, oh, Father, forgive me for what I did last year. Forgive me for what I did last week. No, we're washed in the blood every day. Amen. Turn over there to 1 John 1, 7, and let me find a verse of Scripture here. It's not on my little note. A little note means nothing without the Holy Spirit anyway. See if we can find 1 John 1. I want to show you a little revelation here. This is it. If we walk in the light, okay, how many is walking in the light today? The best you know. Now, you've got to answer that. As He is in the light, not Jesus. Now, that's quite a statement. We have fellowship one with another. All right, so we have fellowship with Christ, and we have fellowship with fellow Christians that are washed. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Praise God. Amen.
How many believes it?
Amen.
How many believes it?
Amen.
So the condition is to walk in the light that we have right now, not be willfully ignorant, accept it when it comes, change, repent, whatever, ask for forgiveness or whatever you need to do to stay right with God. But know this, as we're walking in the light of God's Word, the blood of Christ cleanses us every day. It's a living reality.
Amen.
So we have eternal life every day once the blood is applied. Hallelujah. And now let's go back to Hebrews 12:24. So I want to throw that little scripture in there, please. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Praise God. So just the mere fact, everybody, that Christ stands in the presence of the Father God in heaven is a wonderful thing, but is there for us. I said he's there in heaven for us.
Amen.
He represents his saints to the Father. Amen. He speaks today. When Christ went up and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, it still speaks today. Amen. We have a theory that when Christ shed his blood on the cross and the blood mixed with water and rain and everything, It was a hell on earth. No man can explain it. Luke came close as any man could explain it in one book. But it seems to me that God knows about everything visible and invisible. And so when Christ's blood ran down the hillside, mingled with water, it eventually got into the rivers. It eventually got into the lakes and the oceans. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
That's the reason God said he owns this earth and everything in it. Praise God. Christ came and redeemed it back. And even though we still have a temporary curse on the earth right now, we're heading back the other way to paradise restored. Praise God. That time is fast approaching, and I'll be glad. I want to look at 1 John 5 now, please, in verse 6. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for the blood of Jesus today?
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior. Without him, there's no hope. But he's never failed, not even one. Praise God. He can't fail. Amen. You see, when the Father God cut the covenant with the Son and the Holy Spirit aiding and helping, that was between the Godhead. We had nothing to do with it. We were just invited in. So the entire inheritance that the Son has now is ours too. Equal. Now I know most people can't accept this, but how many would accept the fact that Jesus is loved by his Father? Oh, God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. I know, but how many could accept the fact that the Father God loves us just as much as his Son? So we got a few. You need to understand this, that the blood is applied. Praise God. And when God sees the blood in our lives, he recognizes his Son. And so we're treated equal as the Son. That's the reason the Bible says, what? Know ye not you're sons of God? Does not yet appear we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Praise God. And so, we'll never be God, but we are in the body of Christ. And we do have an inheritance that is out of this world. And believe it or not, we can experience the abundant life right now if we just believe. Praise God. What did Jesus say? I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Religion says, well, that's when you get to heaven. Now, wait a minute. That's fine. But what about now? God wants to bless us now because of what Jesus did for us in the atonement. As simple as we can make it today. Amen. Now, here comes a revelation in 1 John 5, and we're about through this morning. This is he that came by water and blood. Now, so many are so confused about this. Water baptism has nothing to do with it. I'm not demeaning water baptism. If you're a believer, you are commanded to be water baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No options. That doesn't save you. We're saved by faith and grace, and that not of yourself. However, it would be sin lying at your door if you refuse to get water baptized when you have an opportunity to follow Jesus. Jesus was baptized. John said, hey, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And Jesus said, let it be done to fulfill all righteousness. So that's basically what it is. We'll go down to town and hold down here and have it baptized when we have enough people that want to do it. And don't worry, the drunks get out of your road. Don't worry about it. Amen. It's time the church comes out of the closet and begins to make a statement. They're following Christ. And when you get water baptized, it's like you go down and you die. And when you come up, you're resurrected. That's what it means symbolically. To walk in newness of life. However, that fact occurs in the new birth, and water baptism is just a symbol of the new birth. So, this is talking about water and blood, flesh and blood. Not by water only, but by water and blood. It's the Spirit that bears witness because the Spirit is true. In verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So the Word was who we know as the Christ, the Lord Jesus. But he wasn't known as the Son in the Old Testament. He was known as the Word. He would show up as the angel of Jehovah. We call it the pre-incarnate Christ. But there were three. And so we don't worship three gods. Come on, somebody. Yes. Islam's correct. There's one God. The problem is Allah's not him. You know, if I get thrown in jail for preaching this way, you're going to bail me out? You're not, are you? All right, well. All right. Thank you. I pray God to bless you abundantly with finances to bail me out soon. Because all is not the way. Now, God loves him people. But Jesus is the only way to the Father God. Not Buddha? Huh? Not Joseph Smith? God loves all people. But his love won't keep him out of hell. His love won't get him into heaven. The only way to get into heaven is through the one that came and went to the cross. Jesus said in St. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. How many believes it? Yes. And someone said, he was on TV a while back and smiling like a possum eating manure. Well, there's many ways to Jesus. No, there's only one way. Well, there's many ways to God. No, there's only one way. I get upset at Antichrist spirit. Come on. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, there's such a thing as a holy anger. Don't you get so refined on me now. It isn't about people. It isn't about denominations. It's about an Antichrist spirit that wants to move in as Jezebel and run the church, and I refuse to let it happen here. We take authority. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If somebody brought a little Buddha doll in here and set him on the altar, I'd probably kick him off. Going to Africa some 12 times, I've never heard anyone on the airplane say, oh, Buddha, Buddha, please, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. No, not one. Muhammad, 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 no, not one. Huh? Well, they say, Jesus, help. That's what they say. When that turbulent hits, that airplane takes about a 1,000-foot dive in 5 seconds. Jesus! People started praying. That lady that was sucked out of the window here a while back, I bet you there were some people praying. And you know what? God answers those prayers when he's prayed in Jesus' name. Now let me say, oh God help me. See, I didn't get to see the dedication of the Israel thing, the embassy, right. How many watched that? Anybody watch that? One or two? Did any of those preachers pray in Jesus' name? God help them. Bunch of liars. If you're a preacher, come on somebody. If you're a preacher, you must pray in Jesus' name. I don't care how many devils get upset. There's no such thing as an ecumenical move. Unless you wanted to get in the heart of church. Jesus is the head of the church. He has, and we owe him allegiance. We must honor his name. No, they won't let me. They won't let me. Well, we get on YouTube. We'll figure out a way. We get on Facebook. Upset some of them gossip heads. Come on. Oh, it's getting tight now. Well, you're getting on my little God here. You know. And it's the same for you, child of God. You best not desecrate that name that's above every name. Lest God smite you with a curse. Come on, somebody. There's one name that has all authority in heaven and in earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. I just think, as a preacher, it's time for the church to stand up and be counted. Let the devil get upset. That's our job. Amen. At least the devil knows your name. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? The Father God knows our name, but I want that devil to know my name too. Amen. And some of you weaklings are going to have to get filled with the Holy Ghost and get on fire for God. Or the devil is going to run right over you. Yes, you're getting Sister Sal told this morning. Amen. But folks, it's true. I'm not going to stand here and lie and get my name brought in the book. Forget it. So the three bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's the Trinity as one God. So this ministry believes in the Trinitarian doctrine. I'm not oneness. Oneness Pentecostals, Jesus is, there's only one, Jesus is it, and there's no Father. If there's no Father and there's no Holy Spirit, then who did Jesus sacrifice himself to? Right. Who came down upon Jesus at the baptism of John? Right. Who came on the day of Pentecost? Was it Jesus or the Holy Spirit? So you see, God loved those people, but I must reject that doctrine, and so must you. Amen. If you love God, you will. And if you're just wishy-washy, you'll go with the flow, but the flow is going downhill fast, folks. Right. Stay out of the downdraft. Amen. There's only one way to stay out, and that's the blood of the Lamb. Then verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Do your own studies on that when you have time. Amen. So Jesus, the Word said in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the greatest thing for mom and dad to be washed in the blood. It's the greatest thing to have their children under the provisions of the blood of the Lamb. And I think that's one reason why we're having so much difficulty in our country is the parents just send their kids off to some pizza party on Wednesday night while they stay home drunk. Amen. It's not going to work. Not going to work. No. Joshua said, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. We get up, get to church, serve the Lord, witness throughout the week, live for God every day. We shouldn't be coming to church just to get enough nourishment to make it till next Sunday. That's baby. Amen. We should come to church to rally around the cross, give thanks to God, praise God, hear the word of God, enjoy the fellowship of the saints, be fired up because God's working through the week. Amen. It's a time of rejoicing because, hey, one week closer today toward heaven than we were last week. Jesus is still coming. It's just a matter of time. I think the one thing he's waiting on is the church to get ready. The church to get ready. Are we ready? By the grace of God, we are. But when we stand before the Father in that day and give an account, there'll be one reason only why he says, enter in. It'll not be because of our works, because of how good we were. It'll be because of the blood. Amen. Only. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet today. Amen. How many today are just thankful that the Lord loved you enough to wash you in the blood? Amen. Praise God. If you're washing the blood today, we're washing the blood today together, whether you like everybody or not, you are a brother and a sister to everyone that's born again. Amen. Without exception. Praise God. Amen. When you ask somebody, when were you washing the blood? Well, I joined the church. Wrong. When were you washing the blood? Well, I get tithes. Wrong. When were you washing the blood? Well, I was baptized at town hall. Wrong. When were you washing the blood? Well, I was raised in a Christian family. Wrong. When were you washing the blood? The moment you bowed your knee and made Jesus Lord of your life. Savior and Lord. And when you made that decision to receive him and give him your entire life, he washed you in his own blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the deal. How many have experienced that today?
Today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.